My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is your weekly edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian O'Sara. I am joined by Jay Binkley. Jay, week one, almost complete. We still have Duke Clemson to be played tonight. We're recording this on Monday on Labor Day. We will not get to that game this week. But how you doing this Labor Day?
Oh, we're doing good. It was a great weekend of college football. I mean, we had week two in Missouri high school football, week one Kansas high school football. Well, what a weekend for college football. And the funny thing is, Chris, is, and I don't know if it's going to stay true to this or not, but let me ask you, did you not feel the buzz? There seemed like buzz on Twitter or X or whatever. People were talking about people were talking about the games.
Yeah.
I mean, that was good because you haven't seen that as much early on, maybe because the NFL wasn't being played and more attention to college football. But there seemed to be a lot of people like really into that Colorado TCU game and people enjoying that, the LSU game, Florida State last night. But it seemed like a lot of people reacting, and of course everybody locally excited about Missouri, Kansas, and Kansas State. But it felt like a nice little buzz going on football this weekend.
The thing is like college football is very regional now. And so when your team is actually playing games, you kind of get sucked into the whole environment there. And that really, I think, helped out the feeling of college football this weekend. It was really, really cool seeing Twitter go abuzz with all of the things that were happening and all of the highlight plays that we saw on Twitter from the various
people
games.
Were talking about Deion in Colorado. I mean, that was something people were talking about. It was good because people were talking about college football. The line talk was pretty big as well this weekend, but man, the stars shined. hey, this is going to be a fun draft this year because the slotting, the Heisman, everything's been changing left and right with things. But college football got off to a fantastic start this past weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. We are definitely going to jump into all of that. We'll talk about that conference realignment that you just brought up. We'll also talk about players that we think made themselves some money this past weekend with their performances. We'll do our Heisman watch as well, and we will give you games to watch this weekend. But first, I want to go through a recap for week one of the college football season. Last week, we had a few games, but few and far between, not really any good matchups. It was mostly either two teams that aren't going to be in the mix or one really good team and a bad team. So in this regard, this week we actually got, we still got a lot of really good team, bad team, but we did get some competitive matchups there. I think the biggest one from this weekend was very early. It was the big noon matchup on Fox. It was Colorado versus number 17 TCU. Colorado gets the big win, 45-42, down in Fort Worth, Texas. Pulls off a big upset. TCU was minus 21. They had a minus 21 line for that game. I'm shocked that it was that. I didn't even know what the line was before, but when I heard it was minus 21, I was like, man, I had to tweet that out.
It's like,
ridiculous.
Why are these people betting on the game? I was like, man, TCU
yeah.
is not the same, man. This is not the same TCU team that you saw last year. And it's been a rough finish for TCU, the national title game. And then, of course, they lost the Big 12 championship game to Kansas State. So you look down the stretch, yeah, they did win that one playoff game. That's fine. But they've been losing some big games as of recently. But it gave everybody what they wanted to see. I mean, just a showcase of seeing Deion Sanders take his team down to Fort Worth, being the underdog. And that game delivered in so many ways.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Shootout style. Certainly, you know, if they play defense the way they played in that game, they're gonna struggle to beat the really good teams. But their offense looks so much fun to watch. They were explosive. Like Shedeur Sanders, their quarterback, Deion Sanders' son, looked really, really strong. Certainly put himself into that Heisman candidacy and probably made himself some money this weekend. We'll talk about that later. Travis Hunter as well, wide receiver, who also came over with Deion and Shedeur from Jackson State. Really good. Not only was he their big player on big position player on their offense, he also had a defensive interception too. And that was incredibly impressive to see that guy go play both ways.
Yeah, you think about guys that have played both ways in college football. It's just for like you go back to Charles Woodson, put a little bit of wide receiver, just a little bit sprinkled in, but he's a defensive player. But with Hunter, I mean, it's a 5-star recruit when he went to Jackson State. That shocked everybody when he went there.
Yeah, it was a big get for him.
But he is an outstanding, and I mean outstanding corner. He only had like 14 catches last year at Jackson State. They didn't use him a ton on offense.
Right.
But he's starting on offense and defense, making fantastic plays, offensive defense. I mean, he was well over 130 snaps, I do believe, in this game between both ways, 100-degree heat down in Texas. But he showcased himself. I mean, that is a Heisman-type performance. Now, it's going to be yet to see what happens with Colorado with how many losses they accumulate because all that's kind of taken into consideration. But that combination, and Shedeur Sanders, someone that I've talked about is being a first-round pick. I do think he's a first-round pick. I think he continues to be a first-round guy, and he's going to continue to grow. But, man, everybody got to see his talent on display at Colorado. Now it's parlaying into next week, the big Saturday game.
Yeah,
the noon kickoff, big Saturday noon kickoff on Fox against Nebraska, the old rivalry there.
A game that would not be on big noon if not for Deion Sanders. Yeah, let's just keep it a buck here. If not for him, that game would probably end up being pushed down, buried in the lineup there, and Fox would not have made it a priority to put that game on national television for everyone to see. But you get a big win against TCU, and Deion Sanders gets his curtain call, if you will. And yeah, that means that game gets put on national television.
Another son starting at safety for that team as well. But Shedeur Sanders, I mean, 510 yards and 4 touchdowns. This is a school record right there with the 510 yards. One game, boom, school record. But that is a fast-paced offense that can throw the ball down the field. Hunter was outstanding in this game. 11 catches, 119 yards. And the interception, by the way, on defense too, Chris. So he had the interception and that. But a lot of people talking about Dylan Edwards. And a lot of K-State fans kind of salty about that one. He's the running back that also caught 5 catches, 135 yards, 3 touchdowns receiving the football. He's from Derby, Kansas. All right? They played Blue Eye North in the state title game.
Derby is a very, very good high school football program.
He was committed to Kansas State. So you're thinking, okay, Kansas doesn't have a ton of blue chip type players in the high school ranks coming out. Both Kansas and Kansas State did not end up with Dylan Edwards. He goes and plays with Deion Sanders. But he was fantastic in this game, 6 carries, 24 yards. But what he does, catching the ball out of the backfield, certainly going to turn some heads eventually in the NFL in a couple years.
Another matchup, this was the big Saturday primetime matchup. Number 21, North Carolina, faces off against South Carolina in Charlotte, U.S. Bank Stadium, where the Carolina Panthers play. And UNC, it was a very tight game for most of that game. But eventually, late in the game, North Carolina is able to pull away. They win by a couple touchdowns, 31-17. I will say this. This was a game that when we talked about, we previewed these matchups here. I said, North Carolina is not going to run away with this game against South Carolina. North Carolina is not this juggernaut team. They've got a lot of talent. I mean, Mac Brown has accumulated a lot of really good players, but he's also lost good players. I mean, last year, after last season, he lost both of his starting corners to the transfer portal. Storm Duck goes to Louisville. Tony Grimes goes to Texas A&M. Both those guys were projected to be NFL-level corners at some point when eventually they decided to declare. And they lost talent, but because of that, they played a very competitive game against a team in South Carolina that probably isn't going to be in the mix in the SEC East at all.
Well, South Carolina was a team alert. Spencer Rattler is kind of reinvented himself a quarterback.
Has he?
For South Carolina. I think he has. We're talking about a guy that was a Heisman hopeful a couple years ago at Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler, he was still 30 of 39 for 353, okay? He still delivered. He had no time to throw the football. North Carolina's pass rush was all over. They had 9 sacks in the game.
Yeah.
He was sacked 9 times. He did not at any time. Wait, Gene Chizik, man, what he's doing, I mean, former national title head coach, what he's doing as defensive coordinator at North Carolina is impressive. That pass rush for the Tar Heel is legit. 9 sacks on an SEC team. But hey, props to the ACC. We'll get to the Florida State game in a way, but ACC over SEC and a couple of big, big matchups, and this was the first one.
Yeah, and I think you can give credit to Mac Brown. He's really improved the recruiting at North Carolina, usually a basketball school, but Mac Brown has come in there and put them. They're not up there with the elite SEC programs as far as recruiting goes, but they've recruited very well since he's taken that program.
And a top 5 pick in Drake May in the NFL draft, the quarterback.
Yeah, certainly.
He did have 2 interceptions.
He did. And they weren't great interceptions either, especially the one where he was rolling out of the pocket.
He dropped in the Heisman odds.
Yeah, he certainly did. Then you had number 3 Ohio State. They struggled against Indiana. This was, I actually had a parlay that included Ohio State covering the 30.5 spread. They did not. They won 23-3. They struggled to score on Indiana. They have 2 receivers who are probably going to go in the first round, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka, and they scored 23 points on Indiana, a team that is not going to be at any point competing for the Big Ten championship.
5 catches between 2 receivers that'll probably be the top 2 receivers going in. Marvin Harrison got banged up a little bit on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Did come back in the game. He had a touchdown catch, but they called it back with the penalty. But with him, but the big thing has been their quarterback play. Because Kyle McCord was in a battle with Devin Brown.
And it was
going
a battle
down the stretch.
Too. It went down the stretch.
There. And you know, McCord ended up with 239 yards, but that's not Stroud, man.
No.
That is not Stroud. So yes, Ohio State is loaded. Defensive tackle, edge rushers, pair with Jack Sawyer out there rushing, great receivers. They've got a ton of talent. Great running game, but it's gonna come down to quarterback play for Ohio State. But again, it's early. I mean, I'll give teams a pass on week 1. Because we see some things on week 1. Because here's the thing with college football. You're expected to go out there and play. And sometimes you're playing against great competition right off the bat. A lot of teams like to ease into the season.
Right.
You know, and play 1AA's. Like we saw a ton of that locally with Kansas State, and Missouri. They all played a 1AA, an FCS team this weekend. But there's no preseason football. And we know how sloppy preseason game 1 is in the NFL.
Yeah.
You're telling college guys, all right, go. Go out and be in a primetime game. Like the LSU-Florida State game that we saw last night. We'll get to that one. But you're expected to go out there and play a good team week 1.
Michigan, number 2, the rivals of Ohio State, they handle business. Did not at all impress in any great way. They faced off against Eastern Carolina, win 30-3. This was another game here where you see a team that has been in the mix for the college football playoff, a team that I think a lot of people expect to win the college football playoff, and yet start of the year didn't quite go out there and show that they were that much better than the competition. 30-3 victory over Eastern Carolina. Then you have a matchup between Texas, number 11, a team that is loaded full of prospects. we've talked about a lot of, you know, Quinn Ewers, Jatavion Sanders. They got a couple of DTs, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, the
Xavier
second.
Worthy.
Xavier Worthy, a wide receiver that could be a first-round pick. They got a lot of talent on that Texas team, and they struggled early against Rice. Eventually, they pull away late, enough to where they could put their backup quarterback in, which, by the way, was not Arch Manning. I don't know the name of their backup quarterback, but Arch is clearly third on the depth chart right now. They pulled away late, and they win 37-10. Texas definitely looks like a team.
It was Malik Murphy.
They could very well be a team that, even though they got a big matchup against Alabama, they could be a team that ends up, if they do not shape up, if they do not get to a point where they're able to comfortably take out teams like Rice, they could end up being in a position where they get upset.
Jatavion Sanders, the guy I was watching a lot of, because, you know, probably tight end number two in college football now. He did get that touch. I even tweeted, I said, throw the ball to Sanders. Get him the football. You know, the funny thing was, did you notice who Rice's quarterback was, JT Daniels? That dude has played everywhere. Yes. USC's been a starter.
Yes.
Georgia's been a starter. Uh-huh. West Virginia been a starter.
Yeah.
And now he's at Rice. That's four Division I programs that nobody's ever done.
And he's going
that.
Down every
nobody's
time.
Nobody's ever done that.
He's going down every time.
It's like, you know, how many years is this guy going to play college football?
Yeah.
Four Division I programs.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is like,
and he was 7-0 at Georgia, by the way.
Yeah.
And he got hurt.
He got
and
hurt.
Stetson Bennett stepped right in. And
exactly.
While he pipped his ass, and boom, JT Daniels. Now
I remember watching him play. I think they were playing Purdue last year at the beginning of the season. I was like, okay, maybe JT's got a home now because he's bounced around here between a couple different programs. Nope, played at Rice, and he didn't look that good in this game either.
No, he's terrible.
Yeah, no, he's not good. Maybe he'll look better once Rice gets into conference play. But man, this Rice team was not really that good, and Texas was giving them every opportunity to stay in the game.
And again, I don't know if it's just the not 100% ready. You know, again, week one when teams are playing, not week one when teams are playing, kind of ease into it. And not going to put a lot of stock into these games. I know we were high on Deion Sanders in Colorado.
Yeah.
What they did, that was great. But, again, some of these power schools like Texas, you know, we sit there and they end up winning 37-10. So they end up doing what they should do. But they didn't cover in this game. I think they went 35-point favorites.
Yeah, no, they did not cover in this game. And then finally, the big heavyweight fight that took place on Sunday night, Florida State against LSU down in Orlando, Camping World Stadium. This game was very close at the half. It was really whether or not Florida State was playing up to their potential or not. Because in the first half, Florida State had plenty of opportunities to get a decent lead, and they just missed opportunities. Then in the second half, they finally started to live up to their potential, and they proceeded to blow out LSU in that second half. Ended up winning the game 45-24, and really, they were very much in control of this game from start to finish. It was just a matter of whether or not they take advantage of the opportunities that LSU was giving them. They did in the second half, and they get the win.
Well, it was a heavyweight fight, like you said. You get these two schools. Again, ACC showing up and beating a good SEC football team. But Jordan Travis, one of the Heisman favorites, goes into the game, the third Heisman favorite. Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU, the second Heisman favorite.
He didn't look like it last night.
Jordan Travis, a nice game. 23-31, 342, four touchdowns in the game. But I think Keon Coleman, and again,
yeah.
Local college football fans, close your ears. He was committed to KU.
Yeah.
So, Jamar Chase was
he was committed to KU too.
They've had so many great receivers.
KU could probably put together an all commit team and it'd be able to beat any other team.
It
in
was
college
a whole
football.
Louisiana connection, right?
Yeah.
Down Louisiana.
Les
so
Miles.
He spurred LSU in that game with what he did. Keon Coleman, a nice 9 catches, 122 yards, and 3 touchdowns in that game. And I think you're going to be hearing a lot about him coming up because he's 6'4 wide receiver.
Yeah, he's huge.
6'4, 215, 3 touchdowns.
But he doesn't play like it. He does not play like the fade route touchdown he had, sure. But he doesn't play like that when he's just like when he's after the catch. He doesn't look like a 6'4 guy. He looks like he's way smaller than that and much faster and agile than that. He's really, really talented.
He is, and then Johnny Wilson, our guy that's
6'7".
He had a nice game, over 100 yards,
yep.
At least.
Yeah, he had a lot of... He's what you expect a 6'7 wide receiver to be. Very good possession guy, going to go out there and win those 50-50 catches. Not going to be a guy that's going to just catch it over the middle of the field and just run down the field for a touchdown. That's just not who he is.
And Keon came over from Michigan State.
Yeah,
so
he's a Michigan State transfer.
Transfer portal. So
it's so good for these teams.
Great games. And I will say this, though, just one more note here on Colorado that I found really interesting. And they showed it on the broadcast as far as what they did. Two wide receivers over 100 yards last year. They had four for Colorado. Just that one game. Just that little nugget right there for Colorado's offense.
So I also want to recap the local teams that played this weekend. Starting with Mizzou, they played last Thursday, and they took care of business. They handled South Dakota. 35-10 victory for Mizzou. I did not get to see the game. I know you got to watch that game. What did you think about that performance from the Tigers?
Again, first game, I think they did the right thing. You know, easing in, playing a school like South Dakota. Brady Cook, that was the question, Brady Cook or Sam Horn?
Yeah.
What's up with these quarterbacks? Sam Horn's worth 21. With Devin Brown for Ohio State, the backup quarterback's worth 33. Yeah. Okay, anyway, Brady Cook, 17-21, 172 yards and a touchdown. And the quarterback rating, 165.5. That was the big talk. And Eli Drinkwitz after the game was almost defending Brady Cook to the hilt, man.
Yeah.
Like, he was taking it upon. It was almost like what the Dolphins are doing with Tua, as far as everybody just like trying to build their confidence.
Oh, he's so good. He's most accurate quarterback in the league. Yeah.
But Luther Burden, you know, the big time wide receiver prospect.
Recruit,
Luther Burden, 7 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. So it's hard to get a real reading on Missouri in this game. Mm-hmm. I love the offense, the way things were kind of put together for this team, kind of going with this up-tempo stuff that they've been doing, and Brady Cook kind of facilitating the offense. But again, it's wait and see for Missouri in this game. This week they play Middle Tennessee State. That, by the way, lost 56-7 to Alabama.
Yeah, so, smoked.
So Missouri should be going 2-0 now.
This is the interesting thing about Mizzou. And you brought up Eli Drinkwitz kind of talking spicy after that matchup there about how basically his comments were, I don't care what the media thinks about who we should start at quarterback. We'll go with who we want. All that mess. And you kind of saw that as well a little bit. It was kind of opposite end of the spectrum as it pertains to Deion Sanders, Coach Prime in Colorado. These coaches who are out here talking real spicy to media members early in the season.
In week one.
In week one without proving much. And I'll say this about Sanders. I'll say this about Deion. Great job matching the win total from last year. It was great job doing that. And he's definitely put Colorado football on the map. We would not be talking about Colorado football right now if it wasn't for Coach Prime.
With that over-under, what, 3.5 games?
Yeah. You won one game. Let's hold back. They kind of acted a little, you know, like, hey, we, you know, they acted like they won a championship.
I mean, it was fun to watch, but week
it
one, drink what's going on and all about that. I mean, no one's really paying attention to what a lot of people say. I will say this. Kirby Moore, their offensive coordinator, brand new. He was at Fresno State last year from Missouri. I thought he did a nice job with that offense. So, again, wait and see. It's Middle Tennessee State next week. It was bombed by Alabama.
Let's chill on the spicy talk here. You haven't proven anything yet. Like, I think Prime proved, hey, I belong here. I belong at this level. Prime did not prove that he was a great coach at this level, though. He proved he could win a game against a team that I think we both agree pretty damn overrated.
He brought some serious talent there.
He did. He brought a lot of talent. Some of those guys are going to be playing on Sundays.
Like as far as Hunter and Shadur coming from Jackson State.
Yeah.
And then Dylan Edwards that obviously signed there because of Deion. So.
And he'll have more resources now. And certainly I think, you know, 3-4 years down the line, he'll probably be looking at making a jump. I think we both agree Florida State is probably the team to look for if Mike Norvell is not able to keep them in contention for the college football playoff. then Deion's probably going to get some calls. Except he was from the Regents there.
But he had some Florida State beef last week. Remember when he said that he graduated from Talladega, not Florida State or something?
He can say whatever he wants. Yeah. But like
Florida State would be foolish not to consider
him. Once that offer comes, because yeah, they're going to want to win, and if he's got the kind of hype that he does now and the success to back it up,
hey, winning matters.
They'll want him there. So, I just think that this is a little too early to be talking this spicy. You let your results talk for you. And I think this early in the season, you're probably doing yourself a disservice because you're going to lose some games. I mean, Mizzou's going to lose some games. Colorado going to lose some games. They're not about to go undefeated. I don't care how good Shedeur Sanders is. Their defense isn't that good. They are going to lose some games. Maybe give yourself some grace here because you know the media is going to come after you after you catch some L's.
Oh, they're going to be coming after you. And in primetime now. I mean, first game it was on what, Fox nationally?
It was on Fox, yeah,
and
nationally.
Next week, the big Saturday
same thing again.
So,
yeah,
Fox
yeah.
again.
So, as far
and
as
by the way, that spring game for Colorado was on ESPN.
ESPN. Yeah.
Alabama, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, all that was ESPN Plus.
Yes.
Colorado was ESPN, and they sold it out. The hype train is real. Yes, there might be people negative talking, but a lot of people are not.
There was a lot of people who saw images of him in that cowboy hat when it was snowing out there at the spring game. Yeah. The other local team that played on Saturday, one of the other local teams that played on Saturday, KU. Struggled early against Mo State, but eventually their offense got going, and they were able to get a big win, 48-17, over the Mo State Bears. What did you see from
with the
this
backup
game?
Quarterback?
Backup being, quarterback.
Being
yeah.
Jalen Daniels didn't play in this game. It was thought that he was going to. I think they announced him as a starter
they
in
did.
That game.
They did.
But there was no reason to play him in this game. No reason. Bean gets the job done, 276 yards, 2 touchdowns out of 41 yards on the ground. Devin Neal, almost 100 yards. He's going to be a stud. Right there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Lawrence area at the running back position. But, yeah, so far so good for Kansas. You have to like this. Again, playing Missouri State, smart for them to start off like this because it's going to get much tougher this coming week against Illinois. For Kansas, but you know, let's face it, you know, Missouri State, they did what they should do. They went out, it was a slow start, but then turned things around in KU. But again, getting to the conference, because that's last year they start 5-0. They lost 7 of their last 8 games.
Right.
So they've got to get that behind them.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't end the season the way they wanted, even though they started off really well. And then the other local team that played Saturday night, a game I did see, Kansas State played against SEMO. They beat the hell out of them, 45-0. This was just one of those games where Kansas State, they did miss some opportunities in this game. But, I mean, when you see a score of 45-0, you know, you know that they took advantage of most of their opportunities there. SEMO just wasn't in the same realm as Kansas State was, not on the same planet as them. Kansas State's got a lot of talent again. Their offensive line, as they call them, the beef. They are back. All those guys came back. I mean, really, the only
Beebe,
one
the guards gonna be a first rounder
is Cooper Beebe, who's very likely to be a top, very likely to be first or early second round guard.
I think first
there.
Round easily.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you look at that team. I mean, look, Kansas State has got a lot of talent. Ben Sinnott, a guy that I've seen as another potential tight end that could be somewhere probably.
H-back tight end. They split him out wide.
They move him everywhere. He could be a second or early third day pick as well. They have a lot of talent on this team. I don't know what the ceiling is for them. I think a lot of that really kind of ends up relying on Will Howard, their quarterback, who had one interception, and then he had a couple of other throws that probably should have been picks. Against better teams, they would have been picks. But at the end of the day, Kansas State still took care of business and beat the hell out of SEMO.
Yeah, Will Howard, man, he continues to get bigger and better at this point. 297 yards passing, a couple touchdowns for him. But I was impressed with RJ Garcia. How about him coming out of nowhere?
Yes.
Five catches, 119 yards for Kansas State. But on the ground, you got to replace Vaughn. You got to replace Deuce. DJ Giddens, nice game in this game on the ground for K-State, 128 yards.
Trishon Ward, your other running back.
Transfer from Florida State.
Yes, looked really good.
That added 56 yards on 11 carries. But it's the yards per carry. Because Giddens, you look at 8.5 and then 5.1 for Ward. I mean, they were getting big-time yards on the ground because of that offensive line.
Yeah, they got a very good offensive line. Their offensive line is going to be that, I think, them and Will Howard are going to be the determining factors for how good this team is able to be, especially as far as winning the Big 12 again. Because I will say this, I think the only two teams that are really obstacles for Kansas State in the Big 12, like serious obstacles for them, Texas and Oklahoma. And those two teams are going to be very motivated to try to win it because Big 12 is very much antagonizing them as those two teams are on their way out of the conference. So, and I guarantee you, the Big 12 is going to be pulling for Kansas State this year because they do not want the two teams leaving to be the ones to win the championship and then kind of have that glory as they walk out of the conference and go to the SEC.
To me, Kansas State, though, with Klieman, they're one of the powers in the Big 12. That's how they should be looked at. They should be viewed as, like we've looked at Oklahoma and Texas through the years, even though they haven't lived up to it. But Kansas State is a power in the Big 12. They won the Big 12 championship game. This is one of the teams to watch, one of the big dogs in the Big 12 conference, especially with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. It comes down to Kansas State, who has a huge game in a couple weeks against Missouri.
Speaking of teams leaving, we got more conference realignment happening. Last Friday, the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC, voted to accept Cal.
Well, some of them did. I don't think Florida State voted for it.
I'm not shocked that Florida State wants a bigger cut. But the ACC voted and accepted Cal, Stanford, and SMU to join the conference.
And they're not taking a full share for a while either, as far as the revenues are concerned.
Yes.
But nothing says Big Ten, Atlantic Coast Conference like Stanford and Cal.
Yeah, like two teams in California and one team in Texas. That is exactly – this is the reason why now the regional aspect, and I hate it.
But SMU got in there because they're money.
Yeah, they're money. They are money. They have a lot – there's a lot of money there. We obviously – if you know about the Chiefs, you know the de facto owner of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt, is an SMU alum, and there's a lot of money there.
Former quarterback Shane Michelle down the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and then Rashee Rice, the young – standout rookie wide receiver, is also an SMU product. So there's a lot of money there, and this used to be a great program before they got the death penalty and ended up being severely hindered by the NCAA, but they're starting to get back up there, and this is really big for them getting to go and join the athletic.
I think the way it's
going to
work, the rest of the ACC teams are going to make one trip to the West Coast.
Yeah.
The other schools are going to make three or four trips up there, but
right.
Brett McMurphy put it out here. On Twitter, it says, Cal announced it will not receive full ACC revenue shares until its 10th year in the league. Stanford and SMU in the same situation. So you're talking 10th year that they get their full share. So, and they're going to be careful with the scheduling again.
Right.
You're going to see the West Coast teams come to the East Coast a lot. The East Coast teams will just make one trip over there.
And then so now that leaves Oregon State
and they're talking
Washington.
About the other schools maybe meeting somewhere in the middle, which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah. So that leaves Oregon State and Washington State without a conference for next season, which is really unfortunate. Oregon State actually has a good team right now, number 18.
The Mountain West commissioner went to both of them, went to the Colorado State game and Washington State, And then the game against San Jose State, against Oregon State, she was there as well. So the commissioner, and there's been talk, all right, what's going to happen? Are they going to join the Mountain West? Or are they going to keep join the Pac-12 brand and keep AAC teams, get them to move and get the Mountain West?
Yeah.
But it's probably going to be to where the Pac-12 just goes bye-bye. I know that's the brand, it's the name, but everybody else is jettisoned and left that conference. We could see these guys in the Mountain West, because I don't see the Mountain West dissolving or losing their top teams to the Pac. They could, but again, I don't look at those teams as Pac teams, so Mountain West teams.
I would agree with you on that, just because of the fact that like the Mountain West has really jumped up in terms of value over the last few years. I mean, look at Wyoming. Wyoming now has become one of the better programs in that conference. Boise State
Craig
has been.
Craig Bowl, the coach, was at North Dakota State.
Yeah, Boise State was one of the better. And like, not only that, but we've seen teams come from there and then rise up and get bigger, like Utah. Utah was in there, and then they went to the Pac-12, and then now they're about to join the Big 12 next season. So, I mean, to me, right now, Mountain West might be a better value in term, might have a better brand recognition right now than trying to keep the Pac-12 alive.
And Gloria Navarez, their commissioner, again, she went to both games, so there's courting going on with Oregon. And you know what? Oregon State's a ranked team. They were 18th in the nation.
Yeah.
That's a good football team.
Yeah, it's a good team. So, yeah, I think it probably is going. And now, especially because now, like, Oregon State and Washington State don't really have much leverage.
You know who Oregon State's quarterback is? Former Clemson, DJ
Uigalele. Uigalele. You shouldn't have tried to say that. Yeah. Name.
250 pounds.
I knew it.
Big
I knew as soon as you said DJ, I was like, oh, no, he's going to butcher it.
I have always butchered that.
Yeah. So now we want to get on to a new segment that we are going to bring up every week as these young guys continue through their seasons and try to improve their draft stock. It's called Moneymakers, and we are going to tell you which players we think made themselves some money by the way that they performed in that week's games. I think the top guy that improved his draft stock and made himself some money, quarterback Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado, 38 of 47, 510 yards, 4 touchdowns. This kid, I think, has very much put himself in that first-round conversation. I wasn't too sold on him as a first-round pick. I thought more second day.
I think quarterback's going to be the story of this year's draft, man.
I think it's very possible.
There are people drooling over these teams, these quarterbacks.
It's very possible, and certainly he played like a first-round quarterback in that matchup against TCU. But I think he made himself a hell of a lot of money with the way that he performed on Saturday.
Another quarterback from the pack. Michael Penix Jr. would have been my guy throwing the money. He 450 yards.
I don't think he made it. I think he's about where we expected him to
be. He's played at Indiana, Heisman hopeful. But he's a stud. They've stud wide receivers at Washington, including Jalen McMillan. But the bottom line is huge, huge game.
Yes.
For Michael Penix Jr. He delivered.
Yeah. And then another.
There's
Colorado
four great quarterbacks in the pack right now.
Yeah, there are. The other player at Colorado, I think, made themselves some money. Wide receiver Travis Hunter. This kid is electric.
He's been there. He's on the national stage
he's
now.
He's electric.
But people are like, this guy's playing both ways. Yeah, he's a great corner.
He got a pick in the game.
And a great receiver.
Yeah.
And then after the games, they're asking him about the snap count and the heat. He's like, I still want to play.
Yeah.
This guy's a baller, man.
I don't think he's going to continue to do that for too much longer.
What's he going
to
be better at? He's a great corner right now. He might be a better corner than wide receiver because he's not refined at wide receiver, but he can be.
I think there's more value at wide receiver, and especially in the NFL with it being a passing game. I just think that teams are going to want him to stick to wide receiver if that's what he's clearly best at. Or if it's like equal, I think they're going to want the wide receiver, Travis Hunter. So, but I do think his value's up there. But it would be fun to see him play both ways at the NFL level. Another guy, I think we both agree on this, that made himself a lot of money, wide receiver Keon Coleman out of Florida State. Last night, 9 catches, 122 yards, 3 touchdowns. This kid was so spectacular in that game last night. He was a guy that was already on my radar, but Johnny Wilson Jr. was the guy everyone was talking about. Everyone was like, okay, this guy's for sure a first-round pick.
This Michigan State transfer that, by the way, was committed, as we mentioned earlier, to Kansas earlier.
And this guy went out there and like I said, Johnny Wilson Jr. to me looks like the safer wide receiver because he's 6'7". and he's just got this great catch radius. He can catch it over the middle, so he's definitely a safety blanket guy for quarterbacks that aren't quite as dynamic or accurate. But a guy like Keon Coleman, who is 6'4", he does not play like he's 6'4". He plays like he's 5'10", 5'11". He's great at running after the catch. Had a long touchdown run. Run after the catch. This kid just has everything you like. I mean, having wheels, having the size, good catch radius, ability to go up there and win 50-50 balls. I think he might end up jumping Johnny Wilson Jr. as far as the as far as prospects go at wide receiver.
That's going to come down to combine times.
Yes.
It's 100% going to come down to 40 times.
I mean, his combine times probably going to be better than Johnny Wilson Jr. because Johnny Wilson is 6'7". I don't know if it's going to be that much better.
Hey, by the way, the NFL franchise tag numbers for corner, $18.1 million. Wide receiver, 19.74.
Yeah. Go play wide receiver, dude. Go play wide receiver. Yeah, go play that position. And then another guy that I really thought really made themselves a lot of money. I think we obviously know Roma Dunes, the top wide receiver of Washington, for sure looked very good. He ended up leading Washington with in receiving yards over 100
Odunzi?
Receiving yards. Odunzi, yeah. The other wide receiver, Jalen McMillan. 8 catches, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a nice, like, I think it was a 35-yard reception for a touchdown in that game. Boise State gave him a little trouble early, but they ended up pulling away. This kid is just so talented. He doesn't look better than Odunzi, but he definitely looks like someone that could be late first, early second, depending on where Odunzi goes there.
6'1".
I think Odunzi's better.
6'1". Odunzi, by the way, 7 for 132
yeah.
in a touch in that game. But again, they're fun to watch, Washington. This was a miss on the Big 12's part, in my opinion.
Big
Washington
miss, yeah.
and Oregon were the team. They're going to the Big Ten, but they spurred them with UCLA and USC the first time. The Washington and Oregon were the teams I wanted to see the Big 12 get.
Yeah, they should have gotten them. Yeah, but this point, and it could be a situation where Big Ten probably gave him a better offer, and that's what they took. Yeah. So could be that. So getting on to our Heisman watch, players that we think are kind of ranking our Heisman rankings as we get past week one. Obviously, number one guy who still leads in the Heisman betting race in the odds race, Caleb Williams, 18 of 24, 319 yards, 5 touchdowns, had a couple of just unreal throws,
had a Mahomes type throw, where
a couple of them really, yeah. One of them out of bounds, he's going out of bounds, just lofts it over the head of a receiver that had beaten his corner, and the guy catches it with one hand. Another one where he's dancing around in the pocket, basically jukes an edge rusher, scrambling out of the pocket, makes a great throw on the run.
Was his 9 touchdowns down in 2 games?
Yeah. I mean, he's looked amazing in his first 2 games. I mean, right now, a shoe-in. It seems like a shoe-in for the Heisman.
No, and a shoe-in. Endorsement deals all across.
I know.
He's got Wendy's.
He already has a bunch.
Nissan.
Yeah, he's got Wendy's. He's got Nissan.
Dr. Pepper.
He's Dr. Pepper because he's in those Fansville commercials.
Caleb Williams.
It's so weird watching an active college player in commercials because growing up, yep, over the years, those guys can't get paid, which is always ridiculous to me, but they can't get paid, so they're not in these commercials, and now you're seeing guys in commercials. It's not a whole bunch right now, but right now, like, Caleb Williams has become a big-time star at the collegiate level, not just because of his play, but now because he's starting to get in these commercials. So I think, yeah, right now he's very much running away with the race. Even though he's 2 games into his season.
Be the second player ever to win back-to-back.
Yeah, he would be behind Archie Griffin. Another guy, Jaden Daniels, who was tied for number 2 in the odds for the Heisman for LSU last night, 22-37, 347 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Didn't look bad, but didn't look great either.
It's a great pass for Florida State with Verse out there, hitting one of the top 5 pick in next year's NFL draft on the edge.
They caused him a lot of trouble out there. I mean, yeah, he got hit a lot. He had to dance around a lot. His receivers didn't really help him out either.
He slipped a plus 4,000 on FanDuel.
I know, right? There was a play where Malik Nabers, who's very good chance to be a first-round receiver at LSU there, slipped on a play, and then the corner got a pretty easy pick, interception there along the right sideline there. It wasn't the best day for him. Florida State's got a lot of talent, but I think Jaden Daniels definitely didn't do anything to impress anyone with how he played. The other quarterback on the other side, though, I thought actually made a pretty decent case for him being the clear number two now, Jordan Travis out of Florida State. 23 of 31, 342 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Man, like, I'll say this. I think he could very well put himself up in the draft rankings whenever he's eligible, because, man, he's got a lot of talent, and he's got good instinct out there. He had a touchdown run on a read option where a guy was coming from his blind side and he pulled the ball and ran for a touchdown. I really like this Jordan Travis kid out of Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, great receivers in Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson, so a solid set there. And he's Jordan Travis third now. Well,
It's third.
Penix Jr. passed
him. Penix Jr. passed him. Okay.
So it's Caleb Williams plus 450, Penix Jr. plus 850, Jordan Travis plus 1100, J.J. McCarthy plus 1600. Then Cade Klubnik, that you'll see tonight at plus 1600, the quarterback at Clemson.
And then you obviously brought up Michael Penix Jr., 20 for 40, 450 yards, 5 touchdowns. Man, that he's got 2 NFL wide receivers to throw to. They got a lot of talent. They're currently number 10th in the nation, but obviously they'll probably jump now when they put the new rankings out tomorrow.
And what a
tomorrow.
Move going from Indiana to Washington.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, that was a guy that had been on the radar for a while for potential first-round quarterback.
He was there last year, too. But yeah.
Yeah, but because I remember when he was at Indiana a couple years ago, a lot of people were like, oh, you gotta watch this kid, Penix Jr.
Yeah.
And then makes the transfer to Washington. Now could be in a pretty solid position to be a first-round quarterback. Certainly looked the part in this weekend when Washington played against Boise State. Shedeur Sanders, I mean, we just brought it up here, 510 yards, 4 touchdowns. Again, I want to caution, it is one game. I want to let this breathe a little bit. But I think Shedeur definitely put himself in a conversation for Heisman in a way that I did not think he would do this early.
He's got some talented wide receivers. Not only that, but talent a yak. Yards after catching Dylan Edwards, and then Dylan just going the distance.
So who would you say are your top five?
My top five right now is Caleb Williams. I like J.J. McCarthy a lot. That's the quarterback at Michigan who currently sits as the fourth in the Heisman race at plus 1600. Strong arm, extremely strong arm. Can get out of the pocket. Love him. Michael Penix would be my third. Shedeur Sanders now fourth, and Jordan Travis fifth. Someone to watch, and we'll see what Colorado does, and that's Travis Hunter, just because he plays both ways, and that's really alluring to voters.
His odds jumped up to 22-1 to win, so he's still a real long shot, but he's got a chance, especially if he's playing both sides. And if Colorado keeps winning, especially if they pull off an upset, now all of a sudden Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, their odds are going to jump, and they're going to be pretty close.
If they don't take votes from each other.
If they don't, yeah. And I think eventually, like, people have to pick one or the other. But the guy who's playing on both sides of the ball is probably going to get the advantage over Shedeur Sanders, so we'll see. So on to our games to watch for the weekend. We're going to start with Illinois versus KU, play Friday night. They've got a couple of defensive tackles at Illinois that are very highly rated. Jerzon Newton, who I have seen rated as the top interior defensive lineman in this draft class. And then Keith Randolph Jr., who is another standout player in that game.
The Athletic has Keith Randolph Jr. is the number 10 defensive tackle in the nation, according to the Athletic. Newton, by the way, Jerzon Newton, number 8 ranked player in the nation, Pro Football Focus's preseason player rankings, AP preseason first team All-American. Keep this in mind with Illinois. They were number 1 in scoring defense last year, number 3 in total defense last year. Keep this in mind. They lost Devin Witherspoon, round 1, pick 5. Jartavius Martin, the safety, goes round 2, pick 47. Sidney Brown, the safety, round 3, 66. And Chase Brown, when the fifth round, he was the fourth leading rusher in the nation. They lost all that talent last year, so it's not as good an Illinois team as it was last year when you lose 3 guys in the top 3 rounds from that defense. But again, number 1 scoring defense in the country last year. But those defensive tackles, still there for Illinois, and they're studs.
Yeah, I mean, they got Brett Bielema has amassed a lot of talent there at Illinois. This is definitely going to be, I mean, they Illinois struggled in their game this weekend, barely won.
They decimated by the draft, though, man.
Yeah, they did, but they barely won this past weekend. They still have a lot of talent on that team. I mean, on my watch list, I've got a few players, especially on the defense. I've got a few players there that to watch for, but the big guys to watch for, especially for Chiefs fans, are going to be their two defensive tackles that they got on their roster, because Chiefs probably going to need a defensive tackle in the offseason.
Chris Jones, yeah.
So another game to watch if you are looking for talent to watch for the Chiefs. Ball State at Georgia. Georgia cruises to an easy victory week one. Brock Bowers is the guy to watch. He did not show up almost at all in that game. One catch, 3 yards in game one of the season.
He misses Stetson Bennett.
Yes.
Again, the quarterback changes with teams in week one. Brock Bowers is still just generational talent at tight end. So, yes, Brock Bowers is still going to be, I don't know, you see me anywhere from 1 to 16 picks. I think he's a top 10 pick.
Yeah, it's still very likely, very early. Could be a situation where they're working on chemistry, and once they get to that chemistry, it improves, you're good. Another game to watch for, Youngstown State at Ohio State. Two guys I want to highlight here, defensive tackles Michael Hall Jr. and Tyleek Williams.
Again, the pairing that they have, because they've got the great edge rushers, including Jack Sawyer. You get the two pairs at wide receiver, led by Marvin Harrison Jr. They're just loaded with talent at Ohio State. Chiefs don't exactly go Ohio State very often.
No, they still don't.
So, if we're going to profile one thing from Ohio State, it'll be these defensive tackles.
Yeah,
defense still a little strong.
And they're full of talent. You know, they got good edge rushers. Either them or Florida State has the best receiver tandem in college football this year.
But they need McCord to step up a quarterback.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. But they've got a loaded defense, and they've got a lot of talent there. So could very well be that maybe the Chiefs, Brett Veach makes his first Ohio State pick in next year's draft. Notre Dame.
Not going to mock one.
Yeah, I know. I'm not either. Then you have Notre Dame making the trip to North Carolina to take on NC State. Two guys, again, had very good games this past weekend in their second game of the season. Tackles Joe Alt and Blake Fisher. I think the Chiefs are probably going to be in the market for at least one tackle this offseason. And I think that one of these two guys could very well play the role, depending on which side they want to fill.
Fisher might be around with the Chiefs, but Alt's going to go top 10.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance Alt's a top 10 guy.
And his dad was a Chief.
So yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, not only that, but It's him and Olu Fashanu that are probably, you know, been tossed up there as the top two tackles in this draft class. But it seems like a very good tackle class. And so the Chiefs will have their ability to go find someone that could be there for at least the next 4 to 5 years. That's going to be a game to watch for sure. Then the big one early on anyways, Nebraska taking on Colorado, big noon on Saturday.
Nebraska was the favorite, not anymore.
Neither of these. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was like -2.5 right after the Colorado game. I was like, what are you doing? Who is setting this line? And very quickly, I checked this morning. It's now Colorado -2.5. So very, very quick market correction, swinging 5 points the opposite way. I do not think there is a player in this game that the Chiefs are going to be that interested in. Maybe not. But two players I think you should be watching anyways. You should be watching this game anyways because it's going to be box office again. Shedeur Sanders, wide receiver Travis Hunt. This game's going to be massive early on.
But here's the thing with Hunter. And I know people are talking. He's still got one more year.
Yes.
Because 2022 is his first year, so he's still got the...
Right.
And people are talking about Drew Aller from Penn State, the quarterback. Like, he's got one more year.
Yeah.
He's got one more year. Let's see, he's down. Now, a lot of these guys are 5 and 6 years because of that COVID rule getting that extra year. But
I think Hunter, though, is making himself a lot of money with the way that he's playing.
He's 100% on everybody's radar at this point.
Then another game to watch out for. UNLV goes up to Ann Arbor, takes on the Michigan Wolverines. Guy that we pointed to last week, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle. Going to be another guy to watch out for. He was on the freaks list that The Athletic put out a couple weeks ago. This is going to be a guy for sure. Any of the really powerful, really tall, really big defensive tackles, you should be watching out for these.
Yeah, he's extremely strong. The one thing, too, about Michigan is it doesn't matter for the Chiefs. J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, again, strong arm. But the running backs, I think the best tandem
Corum
in the nation.
And Edwards.
Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, the best running back tandem in the country.
Michigan might be the most talented team in the country overall. And they should have a lot of guys going in this upcoming draft class pretty high. So you should be watching Michigan anyways, but certainly Chris Jenkins would be the guy I would be looking at.
And Barry Odom at UNLV.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how he made that jump over to UNLV. And you know,
remember Petrino was his offensive coordinator for like a day?
Before one day.
And he bolts the A&M.
Yeah, he gets out of there. And then another matchup, a local team I think people should be watching if you are looking for Chiefs potential future Chiefs players. Troy at Kansas State. One guy that really jumped out to me, and I texted you about this during the game, tight end Ben Sinnott, who I have seen as potential day two, you know, a potential day two, maybe early day three guy. Really talented guy, moves everywhere. I mean, plays on the line, plays off the line in H-back, lines up in the slot, lines up wide. He does everything that you want as a tight end. And he had a fumble. He had a bad fumble in the game after a big catch, but he is incredibly talented.
No, he is, and he moves around. Reddy Stewart from Troy, the corner. He's not on one of the top corner watch lists, right? You're not going to see Reddy Stewart in there. But he was all Sun Belt last year. He ranked second nationally, holding opponents to 8.7 yards after the catch. His NFL passer rating against was the best in the country. Keep an eye on him. Troy, let me tell you this much about Troy. Don't look at the name Troy. This is actually a very formidable team for Kansas State. This will give them, at local schools, I think they're better than Illinois, to be honest with the KU's playing. But to get this, they're on a 12-game winning streak. So Troy has a 12-game winning streak that includes winning a bowl game. So, again, this is a good opponent for Kansas State's much better than Troy, and they'll beat Troy. But I'm saying Troy can give them a better look than what they saw. A much, much better look, because Troy's a quality football team.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, this is definitely going to be a much bigger challenge for him this week. Texas A&M taking on Miami. We talked about this before. Zion Nelson, Francis Maligoa, their tackles.
Zion's been banged up because he had that knee problem last year.
Yeah. And then, but one guy on the defensive side, defensive tackle Leonard Taylor, another guy I have seen as one of the top
one or two
defensive tackles in this draft class. Him and Jerzon Newton have kind of been, put one and two in the draft class as far as the position goes. There's also another corner. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be looking super high for a corner, but A&M's got a guy, Tony Grimes. A guy that I have, done work on when I worked for PFF. And Grimes, who is a good big 6-foot corner there, used to play at UNC for Mac Brown, opposite side of Storm Duck, who's another guy that you've heard as a very good corner. Now he plays for Louisville. Grimes is going to be a guy to watch for potentially, if he's third day. Then there's a couple of interior linemen.
Yeah, Bryce Foster's the center, one of the best centers in the country for A&M. But again, it doesn't matter for the Chiefs, but someone to watch out there. In guard, Javion Cohen, Miami. Played at Alabama. Was a transfer from Alabama down to Miami, so keep an eye on him, too. A great offensive line. When Zion's healthy and you throw him in this line, probably one of the top two or three offensive lines in college football.
Yeah, definitely. And they got a lot of talent there. And again, any team that's got really good tackles, you should be watching because they could be playing for the Chiefs. Another game to watch out for, Tulsa at Washington. Don't think there's any potential Chiefs players on here, but three guys I think you want to watch out for sure, especially if you're a big football guy. You're looking for guys who could be potential stars at the NFL level. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, right now is the second best Heisman odds, based according to FanDuel.
Keep an eye on these quarterbacks, because the Chiefs pick 31 or 32, and you have 6 to 8 quarterbacks going.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're picking like 20 in reality.
Yeah. And not only that, there could be a situation where a team wants to trade back up into the first round to go get a guy, because they want to get that fifth-year option and get that extra year of evaluation and whatnot. The Chiefs could essentially move back early second round and ensure they get some more value for that first round pick. So that's an option as well. Also, two wide receivers. One of them, I think, is for sure a first round pick, is Roma Dunze. And then the other one, Jalen McMillan. I think he could play himself into a late first rounder, depending on how things shake up with the rankings there. Jalen McMillan was really impressive in their in Washington's first game of the season. Another game, Texas and Alabama. big rematch there. Those guys, last time they matched up, had a very, very heated, contested matchup there. Came down to the wire there. I know.
Final 10 seconds.
Bryce Young had to make some really, really great plays in that game in order for them to win. The guys you want to watch for. I mean, there's a ton of guys in this game you want to watch for. Alabama, chock full of talent. Could have, you know, maybe what, the second or third best pass rusher in this draft class in Dallas Turner. Probably have the best corner in this draft class in Kool-Aid McKinstry. But for Chiefs fans, Texas, two guys, T'Vondre Sweat, Byron Murphy II, both of those guys' defensive tackles play on their defensive line, and then a tight end, Jatavion Sanders.
Jatavion, man, if you want, he jumps out of you. Him and Brock Bowers, the top two tight ends in college football. Jatavion Sanders is a guy that I've seen mocked to the Chiefs a couple times.
And me again, too.
All right, when's that Kelce replacement going to come in? You know, last year was kind of the tight end draft in the NFL, a couple really nice ones that kind of fit into what the Chiefs are, and Jatavion Sanders, one of those. You see him, big number zero for Texas.
Two catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown, though, was real nice. Yeah. I mean, he caught it, and he had a good run after the catch. And we know that, especially the way that the Chiefs are playing offense right now, you need guys that get yards after the catch. So if you can get a tight end that can do that, that is incredibly valuable
for
a
team. No better
test
than going against Alabama.
Exactly. If he can go out there and he can show out against a team loaded full of NFL talent like Alabama, that right there will certainly boost up his profile for sure. Another game, and this isn't for Chiefs fans really at all, but I think if you are a big football fan, you want to watch Stanford at USC, Caleb Williams trying to go for that second straight Heisman. Man, he's looked so good in these first two games.
No, he has Dorian Singer, the wide receiver, and Mario Williams. Again, you're talking quarterback and nice receivers. Dorian Singer and Mario Williams really not off to huge starts this year. But
yeah,
there's one guy in Stanford that I do think does pique the interest. Benjamin Urosek. 9 catches, over 130 yards as a tight end. And again, he's considered one of top 12 tight end coming out in the draft this year. Could move up there. But a 6'4 tight end for Stanford that when you're thinking about. And again, I don't know if the Chiefs need to dabble around with mid-round tight ends.
Yeah, I mean,
they need to splash like a Bowers or
we'll see.
Or
I mean,
Sanders.
We'll see. I think there's a lot more talent in this tight end class than I think we're kind of realizing right now. I think there could be some good second-day tight ends that come out of this draft class.
But you're a seg 9 for 138 at tight end and a touchdown. Keep your eye on this guy.
I'll say this. I think that we're starting to see a change at the collegiate level as far as tight ends go. And we're getting away from the big blocking tight end, and we're getting more into the more receiving tight end.
Yeah.
And I think we obviously saw that with like Kincaid and Brock Bowers and, you know, guys like that. Luke Musgrave was like that as well, though he didn't play very much last year. But you're starting to see so much talent come out of that position where these guys are essentially just Johnny Wilson Juniors out there. I'm really excited to see. I think there might be more years like what we saw this past year where there's pretty good depth at the tight end spot on the second day to go and get your guy. Because, I mean, if you remember, Travis Kelce was a third round pick.
Yeah.
And then the final game that I think is on the watch list here, Grambling at LSU, mainly just because of one guy. And there's a lot of guys on that team. Jaden Daniels is obviously really interesting to see him in the Heisman race. Malik Nabers, because he is going to be someone in the mix for being one of the top receivers in the draft class. But Mason Smith makes his debut, defensive tackle for LSU. Suspended the first game of the season. Going to be playing his first game of the season this weekend. That's a guy I think Chiefs fans should be looking out for.
He didn't get to play Florida State. That would have been fun to see him in that game. This is why LSU tried to get that week zero game. Get the week zero game.
They wanted him to
serve it
there. So
that he could
play
Florida State. Yeah, get it there, but definitely Mason Smith.
Yeah, very, very talented player. And I don't think he would have made that much of a difference against Florida State because Florida State just beat them all over the place. But he certainly could have had an impact.
It was one of those heavyweight fights, Chris. Goes round to round, and then all of a sudden, just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Once you get to the fourth round.
It seemed like LSU got tired in the second half, and Florida State was just hitting them with haymakers there. So what game do you think, if we're going to see an upset this weekend, what do you think is going to be the game where we see that upset, even if it's a slight one like we saw Florida State over LSU, or big or pretty big one with Colorado over TCU? Where are we going to get that upset this weekend?
There's not a ton of spicy lines that you look at and say, okay, this is a spicy line that I absolutely like. Obviously, the Alabama-Texas game, is I know that one that you kind of like in this, but I like Washington State. Wisconsin at Washington State. So Wisconsin's going out west to play them. And keep this in mind about Wisconsin. They struggled against Buffalo. I mean, ended up pulling away, as good teams do. I love their backfield. Braylon Allen's one of my favorite running backs in college football. Just a big, bruising back. Reminds you of Derrick Henry, the way he runs the football. And Ches Malusi, stud running backs. I'd say they're probably the next best tandem behind what Michigan has. But I love the way that they play football. But I'll say this. Washington State beat Colorado State 50-24. This is a team pissed because they're stuck in the Pac-12. But Cameron Ward, their quarterback, nice little 37 of 49 for 451 and three touchdowns. Okay, 75.5% completions for Washington. Cameron Ward, the quarterback there. Keep in mind, they love to air it out, throw it around. This is a better team, I think, than what Wisconsin saw in week one. Wisconsin is 6.5-point favorites in this game. That's my upset alert right there, Washington State over Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm going to go Texas over Alabama. I just don't feel like Alabama has that same mystique that they've had over the last few years.
Colin Milrow, the next Jalen Hurts, at quarterback.
They just don't feel like that team right now.
But this game is in Alabama. That's different.
It is in Tuscaloosa, but to me, it just feels like one of those games.
If Texas plays against Rice, Bama will win.
Yeah. They play like that. Yeah, Bama will probably win that game pretty comfortably. But Texas has so much talent. Like, this is going to be, I'll say this. If Texas doesn't win the Big 12, especially when it comes draft time, and we see all of the talent that they have on their roster, all of those guys who are getting drafted, because they could have multiple first-round picks. I mean, we could see Quinn Ewers and Xavier Worthy go in the first round. We could see them have a couple of DTs go, one of them at least in the first round, maybe two second day. We'll see about that. They've got talent all around on this team. I mean, I think if we're going like most talented teams, I think you go Michigan, then you go Ohio State, Alabama, and then Texas might be right behind them. But I think you could argue Texas might be more talented than Alabama overall just because they look like they've got more NFL-ready players right now.
But will they slip up? That's the question.
If they don't win this game, Steve Sarkisian is going to be motivated going against his former boss in Nick Saban. If they don't win this game, especially if they're not competitive in this game and Alabama just kind of controls the game from start to finish, we're going to be asking some questions about this team because Texas has so much talent. So I will say this, like, this could very well like shape the way that Texas plays their last year in the Big 12. Because I know that Sarkisian, you know, is going to try to downplay it. But if Texas does not win the Big 12, it's going to be a massive embarrassment for a school with the kind of pride that Texas has.
You're talking about top five recruiting class in like this last 7 years. I mean, it's been insane.
Sarkisian's done very well recruiting.
What do you think about a Ewers going without the mullet this year? But should he have kept the mullet?
No, I hate mullets. Cut it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, Quinn doesn't.
I think he looks better now. They showed his new picture during the game this past Saturday against Rice. He looked much better now. He looks like a professional quarterback.
It's a quick team, man.
They got so much talent, and that's a team that should not be struggling against a team like Rice that has JT Daniels.
This is a good litmus test. 7.5-point favorites, Alabama. Good litmus test, and the quarterback situation. Like, what's Alabama going to do? Because it's been a quarterback factory, a school that you used to not think of quarterbacks, but now it's been quarterback you with their last quarterback winning the Heisman. Of course, you had Mac Jones coming out of this world. But I will say this about Alabama. Their quarterback situation, I like. I like when I watch, and there was a little bit of a quarterback battle, a three-way battle at Alabama. But a guy like Jalen Milrow, who came in, had 31 carries for over 263 yards just running the ball last year at quarterback. Nice little 194 and three touchdowns in that game. Put up 48 yards rushing the ball. I'm telling you, people are saying Jalen Hurts type Jalen Milrow. If he can play like that, look out because Jalen Milrow is a stud.
Yeah. Then finally, want to talk about those. I know you were affected by this.
Yeah.
The Spectrum customers.
Very affected. I was at a bar last night.
the Spectrum customers who lost to ESPN. Because of blackouts, I think ESPN is currently in a carriage dispute with Spectrum, and I was not a part of this because I have YouTube TV, but apparently millions of people across the country do not have Spectrum, do not have ESPN because of a carriage dispute with Spectrum.
Let me explain how this went. Get the three TVs set up for college football. All right, it was Thursday night. I'm going to watch Mizzou.
Florida, Utah.
And
Missouri, South Dakota. Okay. Yeah.
I got ESPN Plus on one.
Yeah.
Because that's where the Mizzou game was on.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's an ESPN Plus, you can watch it.
Yeah.
But if it's on ESPN Plus, they've also got the ESPN games, ESPN 2, ESPN U, and all that on the ESPN app. Couldn't watch it. Couldn't watch the Florida game. Like that, I blacked out. And, it, you know, keep this in mind, Chris. It was right after the pregame. I mean, in Mizzou game, you had like Tim Tebow out on the field and everything, and boom, because I was watching SEC Network.
Florida game.
Get that one a second, but the Missouri game, Tebow and all that
was on their crew. Okay.
But right before the game started, the pregame they showed, right when the game was going to start, boom, I was like, what's wrong with my TV? What's going on? But it was on, but I was watching SEC Network on
I'm sure there were a lot of curse words.
I keep Spectrum so I can flip between it because I do have the Pac-12 networks. I have their 7 channels, which none of it was affected.
Yeah.
ACC was. ACC Network's part of ESPN.
Yeah, ESPN.
It was yanked. So all my ESPN was off. Now, I got lucky this weekend. A lot of the prime games were either on ABC.
Or Fox.
Which ABC is a Disney station. Yeah. I get that. But the local one is owned by, I think, Hearst or something like that. It's owned by somebody different. So
yeah.
ABC in Kansas City still comes in on Spectrum.
That's good.
That's good because there's been good ABC, and ABC got some Monday Night Football. But the ESPN games were out. But with Fox and CBS did a great job of showing games this weekend. And by the way, welcome to the Big Ten, CBS.
Yeah.
CBS has like 7 Big Ten games
this
year.
It was weird hearing Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson call Ohio State.
They're still showing the 2:30 SEC games.
Yes,
SEC's going to ABC next year is where you'll find.
Yeah, which is kind of sad because I grew up watching SEC football and CBS.
I get it, but the one thing SEC can do, the 2:30 window still theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the ABC night game on Saturday night. So you'll see the prime games because it used to be all reserved for 2:30 on CBS.
Yeah.
Now they can do 2:30 or on ABC. So it's a good move for the SEC. But here's the deal. 41 states have Charter Spectrum. 15 million customers. So I thought, okay, should I call in or what? Well,
you should have called in. Their lines are probably
busy. It's the biggest server in New York, L.A., Dallas-Fort Worth, and Atlanta.
Oh, that's awful.
Let me tell you, those are some big cities.
Yes.
When you have New York and L.A. and you throw Dallas in the mix and Atlanta, those are big cities.
New York isn't as big of a college football city, but no. L.A. is, Dallas is, Atlanta is. That's a big loss right there.
I mean, that was huge for college football fans. And again, I stream. I do that. But I get Spectrum for a reason. I get it so I can watch all the games and flip on my remote to channel numbers. And I have the Spectrum app on some TVs or whatever. I get Spectrum just for college football because it's got my SEC network. Like I said, Pac-12, ACC, all of it, Big Ten, all of it on their network, all the Fox channels. I get all these sports on Spectrum, so that's why I have it. But I was pissed. And I found myself going to a bar. And sitting in one of those booths, they have a TV at it.
Yeah. Oh, they have TVs at the booth?
Now? Yeah, we went to Johnny's down in Parkville. They have TVs in the booth.
I didn't know that.
I said,
that's cool.
Can you change this one? Can you change this one to the game? And they had the bar had the sound of the game on, which I like. But I hate doing that because I like to sit on the couch. I like my beers.
Be comfortable and not spending money.
I like my Oktoberfest. I don't like spending the money. Yeah. Bathroom just right there. It's mine.
Exactly.
And I can have the 3 TV set up or whatever, even though there's TVs everywhere in there. But the Spectrum thing was big, especially yanking college football fans around like that, doing the pregame, then as soon as the kickoff, boom. I didn't hear anything about this supposed dispute going through. And what is it? DirecTV doesn't have Fox at this point.
Yeah, they haven't had them for long. I think there's been a little business.
So college
didn't
football
have
fans are missing out. And guess what? They kind of need it for the NFL coming up here, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I'm a YouTube TV subscriber. They had a dispute with ESPN. I want to say it was last year, might have been 2 years ago, and ESPN was down for one Saturday, and then it was back that Sunday.
When you're talking about the second largest cable company in the United States, you're talking over 14 million customers in 41 states.
Yeah,
L.A., New York, and Dallas. You're talking. Let's get this thing solved or fixed because if not, YouTube's numbers are gonna be burning up.
And especially because they've got NFL Sunday Ticket.
I mean, I may have to sit here and make a move at some point and just add one. Because I do have the ESPN. I do stream that. I do stream Amazon for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I will be Peacock because they get the NFL Buffalo regular season game and a playoff game.
And the playoff game, too.
But I don't have Peacock yet. Do you?
I've got it.
Okay, so I will get that at some point. But the Spectrum is my big thing.
Yeah.
Because that way I can have the Spectrum app. But the good news is I like to be able to – I don't know how your YouTube is. It like – I use the Roku on some TVs, and you gotta like thumb
I've got a Roku and I got a Fire TV.
But you can't go through, you can't type in the channel number.
I don't need a channel number.
But I do the subway, you can bounce back and forth to the game.
They have a, you can scroll down on the screen where you're watching the game, you can scroll down and go to different games.
But I like Spectrum for my football. And we'll see what happens, but I was genuinely pissed off.
Oh, well, I just as a
I still am, actually.
A YouTube TV subscriber, they just introduced during college basketball, during the NCAA tournament, they introduced multiview, which you can have four games on one screen.
Yeah, I love that.
It is. I had it this weekend. Plus, I had my laptop up. And I had five games on, and it was great.
But you start jacking with the NFL, and that's when it's going to get real.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I understand ABC is really like the first
Monday Night Football. Man.
But keep in mind, a lot of ABC is blacked out in the country.
Yeah.
Because of the Disney dispute. The one in Kansas City is not.
No.
So I was able to watch. And then I was able to watch. Again, I was able to watch a lot of games on CBS, ABC. And Fox Sports this weekend, so ended up working out.
Well, if you look at a Switch, I would say YouTube TV is probably your spot, man.
Alabama, Texas.
They don't pay me to say that. But
Alabama, Texas.
I wish they did.
Alabama, Texas on, that game is on, will I be at a bar or not? That's going to be the question. It's going to, there's a bunch of games I want to watch. It's ESPN, 6 o'clock ESPN.
Well, I guess you'll be at a bar if they don't fix it.
Yeah. Johnny's here to come.
With that, that is Jay Binkley. I'm Kristen Osero. Next week, we are going to be back. We are going to give you the rundown on week two, let you know how the local teams did and how the big games went down, that Alabama and Texas game, how those went down this past weekend. Plus, on top of that, any other news? Hopefully no other teams are going to realign and change conferences over the next week. And we're going to preview on week three of college football. So make sure you like and subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to us. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. Jay Binkley, Kristen Osero. This is Character Concerns from 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On everybody's radar at this point.
Then another game to watch out for. UNLV goes up to Ann Arbor, takes on the Michigan Wolverines. Guy that we pointed to last week, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle. Going to be another guy to watch out for. He was on the freaks list that The Athletic put out a couple weeks ago. This is going to be a guy for sure. Any of the really powerful, really tall, really big defensive tackles, you should be watching out for these.
Yeah, he's extremely strong. The one thing, too, about Michigan is it doesn't matter for the Chiefs. J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, again, strong arm. But their running backs, I think the best tandem
Corum
in the nation
and Edwards.
Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, the best running back tandem in the country.
Michigan might be the most talented team in the country overall, and they should have a lot of guys going in this upcoming draft class pretty high. So you should be watching Michigan anyways, but certainly Chris Jenkins would be the guy I would be looking at.
And Barry Odom at UNLV.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how he made that jump over to UNLV. And you know,
remember Petrino was his offensive coordinator for like a day?
Before one day.
And he bolts the AM.
Yeah, he gets out of there. And then another matchup, a local team I think people should be watching if you are looking for Chiefs potential future Chiefs players. Troy at Kansas State. One guy that really jumped out to me, and I texted you about this during the game, tight end Ben Sinnott, who I have seen as potential day two, you know, a potential day two, maybe early day three guy. Really talented guy, moves everywhere. I mean, plays on the line, plays off the line in H-back, lines up in the slot, lines up wide. He does everything that you want as a tight end. And he had a fumble. He had a bad fumble in the game after a big catch, but he is incredibly talented.
No, he is, and he moves around. Reddy Stewart from Troy, the corner. He's not on one of the top corner watch lists, right? You're not going to see Reddy Stewart in there. But he was all Sun Belt last year. He ranked second nationally, holding opponents to 8.7 yards after the catch. His NFL passer rating against was the best in the country. Keep an eye on him. Troy, let me tell you this much about Troy. Don't look at the name Troy. This is actually a very formidable team for Kansas State. This will give them, at local schools, I think they're better than Illinois, to be honest with the KU's playing. But to get this, they're in a 12-game winning streak. So Troy has a 12-game winning streak that includes winning a bowl game. So, again, this is a good opponent for Kansas State's much better than Troy, and they'll beat Troy. But I'm saying Troy can give them a better look than what they saw, a much, much better look, because Troy's a quality football team.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, this is definitely going to be a much bigger challenge for him this week. Texas A&M taking on Miami. We talked about this before. Zion Nelson, Francis Maligoa, their tackles.
Zion's been banged up because he had that knee problem last year.
Yeah. And then, but one guy on the defensive side, defensive tackle Leonard Taylor, another guy I have seen as one of the top defensive tackles in this draft class. Him and Jerzon Newton have kind of been, put one and two in the draft class as far as the position goes. There's also another corner. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be looking super high for a corner, but A&M's got a guy, Tony Grimes. A guy that I have, done work on when I, worked for PFF. And Grimes, who is a good big 6-foot corner there, used to play at UNC for Mac Brown, opposite side of Storm Duck, who's another guy that you've heard as a very good corner. Now he plays for Louisville. Grimes is going to be a guy to watch for potentially, if he's third day. And then there's a couple of interior linemen.
Yeah, Bryce Foster's the center, one of the best centers in the country for A&M. But again, it doesn't matter for the Chiefs, but someone to watch out there. In guard, Javion Cohen, Miami. Played at Alabama. Was a transfer from Alabama down to Miami, so keep an eye on him, too. A great offensive line. When Zion's healthy and you throw him in this line, probably one of the top two or three offensive lines in college football.
Yeah, definitely. And they got a lot of talent there. And again, any team that's got really good tackles, you should be watching because they could be playing for the Chiefs. Another game to watch out for, Tulsa at Washington. Don't think there's any potential Chiefs players on here, but three guys I think you want to watch out for sure, especially if you're a big football guy. You're looking for guys who could be potential stars at the NFL level. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, right now is the second best Heisman odds, based according to FanDuel.
Keep an eye on these quarterbacks because the Chiefs pick 31 or 32, and you have 6 to 8 quarterbacks going.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're picking like 20 in reality.
Yeah. And not only that, there could be a situation where a team wants to trade back up into the first round to go get a guy because they want to get that fifth-year option and get that extra year of evaluation and whatnot. The Chiefs could essentially move back early second round and ensure they get some more value for that first round pick. So that's an option as well. Also, two wide receivers. One of them, I think, is for sure a first round pick, is Roma Dunze. And then the other one, Jalen McMillan. I think he could play himself into a late first rounder, depending on how things shake up with the rankings there. Jalen McMillan was really impressive in Washington's first game of the season. Another game, Texas and Alabama. big rematch there. Those guys, last time they matched up, had a very, very heated, contested matchup there. Came down to the wire there. I know.
Final Bryce, 10 seconds.
Bryce Young had to make some really, really great plays in that game in order for them to win. The guys you want to watch for. I mean, there's a ton of guys in this game you want to watch for. Alabama, chock full of talent. Could have, you know, maybe what, the second or third best pass rusher in this draft class in Dallas Turner. Probably have the best corner in this draft class in Kool-Aid McKinstry. But for Chiefs fans, Texas, two guys, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy II. Both of those guys' defensive tackles play on their defensive line. And then a tight end, Jatavion Sanders.
Jatavion, man. If you want, he jumps out at you. Him and Brock Bowers, the top two tight ends in college football. Jatavion Sanders is a guy that I've seen mocked to the Chiefs a couple times.
And me again, too.
All right, when's that Kelsey replacement going to come in? You know, last year was kind of the tight end draft in the NFL. A couple really nice ones that kind of fit into what the Chiefs are. And Jatavion Sanders, one of those. You see him, big number zero for Texas.
Two catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown, though, was real nice. Yeah. I mean, he caught it. He had a good run after the catch. And we know that, especially the way that the Chiefs are playing offense right now, you need guys that get yards after the catch. So if you can get a tight end that can do that, that is incredibly valuable
and
for
no better
team
test
like
than going against Alabama.
Exactly. If he can go out there and he can show out against a team loaded full of NFL talent like Alabama, that right there will certainly boost up his profile for sure. Another game, and this isn't for Chiefs fans really at all, but I think if you are a big football fan, you want to watch Stanford at USC, Caleb Williams trying to go for that second straight Heisman. Man, he's looked so good in these first two games.
No, he has Dorian Singer, the wide receiver, and Mario Williams. Again, you're talking quarterback and nice receivers. Dorian Singer and Mario Williams really not off to huge starts this year. But
yeah,
there's one guy on Stanford that I do think does pique the interest. Benjamin Urosek. 9 catches, over 130 yards as a tight end. And again, he's considered one of top 12 tight end coming out in the draft this year. Could move up there. But a 6'4 tight end for Stanford that when you're thinking about. And again, I don't know if the Chiefs need to dabble around with mid-round tight ends.
Yeah, I mean,
they need to splash like a Bowers or
we'll see.
A, or
I mean,
Sanders.
We'll see. I think there's a lot more talent in this tight end class than I think we're kind of realizing right now. I think there could be some good second-day tight ends that come out of this draft class.
But you're seg 9 for 138 at tight end, a touchdown. Keep your eye on this guy.
I'll say this. I think that we're starting to see a change at the collegiate level as far as tight ends go. And we're getting away from the big blocking tight end and we're getting more into the more receiving tight end.
Yeah.
And I think we obviously saw that with like Kincaid and Brock Bowers and, you know, guys like that. Luke Musgrave was like that as well, though he didn't play very much last year. But you're starting to see so much talent come out of that position where these guys are essentially just Johnny Wilson Jr.'s out there. I'm really excited to see. I think there might be more years like what we saw this past year where there's pretty good depth at the tight end spot on the second day to go and get your guy. Because, I mean, if you remember, Travis Kelce was a third-round pick. And then the final game that I think is on the watch list here, Grambling at LSU, mainly just because of one guy. And there's a lot of guys on that team. Jaden Daniels is obviously really interesting to see him in the Heisman race. Malik Nabers, because he is going to be someone in the mix for being one of the top receivers in the draft class. But Mason Smith makes his debut, defensive tackle for LSU. Suspended the first game of the season. Going to be playing his first game of the season this weekend. That's a guy I think Chiefs fans should be looking out for.
He didn't get to play Florida State. That would have been fun to see him in that game. This is why LSU tried to get that week zero game. Get the week zero game.
They wanted him to,
so that he
to
could
serve
play
it
Florida
there.
State.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it there, but definitely Mason Smith.
Yeah, very, very talented player. And I don't think he would have made that much of a difference against Florida State because Florida State just beat them all over the place. But he certainly could have had an impact. In
it was one of those heavyweight fights, Chris. Goes round, round, around, and then all of a sudden, just boom, 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 boom. Once you get to the fourth round,
it seemed like LSU got tired in the second half, and Florida State was just hitting him with haymakers there. So, what game do you think, if we're going to see an upset this weekend, what do you think is going to be the game where we see that upset, even if it's a slight one, like we saw? Like we saw with like Florida State over LSU or pretty big one with Colorado over TCU. Where are we going to get that upset this weekend?
There's not a ton of spicy lines that you look at and say, okay, this is a spicy line that I absolutely like. Obviously, the Alabama-Texas game because I know that one that you kind of like in this, but I like Washington State. Wisconsin at Washington State. So Wisconsin's going out west to play them. And keep this in mind about Wisconsin. They struggled against Buffalo. I mean, they ended up pulling away, as good teams do. I love their backfield. Braylon Allen's one of my favorite running backs in college football. Just a big, bruising back. Reminds you of Derrick Henry, the way he runs the football. And Ches Malusi, stud running backs. I'd say they're probably the next best tandem behind what Michigan has. But I love the way that they play football. But I'll say this. Washington State beat Colorado State 50-24. This is a team pissed because they're stuck in the Pac-12. But Cameron Ward, their quarterback, nice little 37-49 for 451 and three touchdowns. Okay, 75.5% completions for Washington. Cameron Ward, the quarterback there. Keep in mind, they love to air it out, throw it around. This is a better team, I think, than what Wisconsin saw in week one. Wisconsin is 6.5-point favorites in this game. That's my upset alert right there, Washington State over Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm going to go Texas over Alabama. I just don't feel like Alabama has that same mystique that they've had over the last few years.
Colin Milroe, the next Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
They just don't feel like that team right now.
But this game is in Alabama. That's different.
It is in Tuscaloosa, but to me, it just feels like one of those games.
If Texas plays against Rice, Bama will win.
Yeah. They play like that. Yeah, Bama will probably win that game pretty comfortably. But Texas has so much talent. Like, this is going to be, I'll say this. If Texas doesn't win the Big 12, especially when it comes draft time, and we see all of the talent that they have on their roster, all of those guys who are getting drafted, because they could have multiple first-round picks. I mean, we could see Quinn Ewers and Xavier Worthy go in the first round. We could see them have a couple of DTs go, one of them at least in the first round, maybe two second day. We'll see about that. They've got talent all around on this team. I mean, I think if we're going like most talented teams, I think you go Michigan, then you go Ohio State, Alabama, and then Texas might be right behind them. But I think you could argue Texas might be more talented than Alabama overall just because they look like they've got more NFL-ready players right now.
But will they slip up? That's the question.
If they don't win this game, Steve Sarkisian is going to be motivated going against his former boss in Nick Saban. If they don't win this game, especially if they're not competitive in this game and Alabama just kind of controls the game from start to finish, we're going to be asking some questions about this team because Texas has so much talent. So I will say this, this could very well shape the way that Texas plays their last year in the Big 12. Because I know that Sarkisian, is going to try to downplay it. But if Texas does not win the Big 12, it's going to be a massive embarrassment for a school with the kind of pride that Texas has.
You're talking about top five recruiting class in this last 7 years. I mean, it's been insane.
Sarkisian's done very well recruiting.
What do you think about a Ewers going without the mullet this year? But should he have kept the mullet?
No, cut. I hate mullets. Cut it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, Quinn doesn't.
I think he looks better now. They showed his new picture during the game this past Saturday against Rice. He looked much better now. He looks like a professional quarterback.
It's a quick team, man. Extremely quick team.
They got so much talent, and that's a team that should not be struggling against a team like Rice that has JT Daniels.
This is a good litmus test. 7.5-point favorites, Alabama. Good litmus test, and the quarterback situation. Like, what's Alabama going to do? Because it's been a quarterback factory, a school that used to not think of quarterbacks, but now it's been quarterback you with their last quarterback winning the Heisman. Of course, you had Mac Jones coming out of this world. But I will say this about Alabama. Their quarterback situation, I like. I like when I watch, and there was a little bit of a quarterback battle, a three-way battle at Alabama. But a guy like Jalen Milroe, who came in, had 31 carries for over 263 yards just running the ball last year at quarterback. Nice little 194 and three touchdowns in that game. Put up 48 yards rushing the ball. I'm telling you, people are saying Jalen Hurts type Jalen Milroe. If he can play like that, look out because Jalen Milroe is a stud.
Yeah. Then finally, want to talk about those. I know you were affected by this.
Yeah.
The Spectrum customers.
Very affected. I was at a bar last night.
the Spectrum customers who lost to ESPN. Because of blackouts, I think ESPN is currently in a carriage dispute with Spectrum, and I was not a part of this because I have YouTube TV, but apparently millions of people across the country do not have Spectrum, do not have ESPN because of a carriage dispute with Spectrum.
Let me explain how this went. Get the three TVs set up for college football. All right, it was Thursday night. I'm going to watch Mizzou.
Florida, Utah.
And
Missouri,
watch
South
Missouri.
Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got ESPN Plus on one.
Yeah.
Because that's where the Mizzou game was on.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's an ESPN Plus, you can watch it.
Yeah.
But if it's on ESPN Plus, they've also got the ESPN games, ESPN2, ESPNU, and all that on the ESPN app. Couldn't watch it. Couldn't watch the Florida game. Like that, I blacked out. And, keep this in mind, Chris. It was right after the pregame. I mean, in the Mizzou game, you had, Tim Tebow out on the field and everything, and boom, because I was watching SEC Network.
Florida game.
Get that one a second. But the Missouri game, Tebow and all that was on the
Oh, their crew. Okay.
But right before the game started, the pregame they showed, right when the game was going to start, boom, I was like, what's wrong with my TV? What's going on? But it was but I was watching SEC Network on
I'm
that
sure
one.
There were a lot of curse words.
I keep Spectrum so I can flip between it because I do have the Pac-12 networks. I have their 7 channels, which none of it was affected.
Yeah.
ACC was. ACC Network's part of ESPN.
Yeah, it's ESPN.
It was yanked. So all my ESPN was off. Now, I got lucky this weekend. A lot of the prime games were either on ABC.
Or
which,
Fox.
Which ABC is a Disney station. I get that. But the local one is owned by, I think, Hearst or something like that. It's owned by somebody different. So ABC in Kansas City still comes in on Spectrum.
That's good.
That's good because there's been good ABC. And ABC got some Monday Night Football. But the ESPN games were out. But with Fox and CBS did a great job of showing games this weekend. And by the way, welcome to the Big Ten, CBS.
Yeah.
CBS has 7 Big Ten games
this year.
It
was weird hearing Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson call
still,
Ohio
they're
State.
They're still showing the 2:30 SEC games.
Yes.
SEC's going to ABC next year, is where you'll find.
Yeah, which is kind of sad.
And ABC.
I grew up watching SEC football and CBS.
Well, I get it, but the one thing SEC can do, the 2:30 window is still theirs,
mm-hmm.
but then also the ABC night game on Saturday night. So you'll see the prime games because it used to be all reserved for 2:30 on CBS.
Yeah.
Now they can do 2:30 or on ABC. So it's a good move for the SEC. But here's the deal. 41 states have Charter Spectrum. 15 million customers. So I thought, okay, should I call in or what? Well,
you should have called in.
Their
lines are probably
busy. It's the biggest server in New York, L.A., Dallas-Fort Worth, and Atlanta.
Oh, that's awful.
Let me tell you, those are some big cities.
Yes.
When you have New York and L.A. and you throw Dallas in the mix and Atlanta, those are big cities.
New York isn't as big of a college football city, but no. L.A. is, Dallas is, Atlanta is. That's a big loss right there.
I mean, that was huge for college football fans. And again, I stream. I do that. But I get Spectrum for a reason. I get it so I can watch all the games and flip on my remote to channel numbers. And I have the Spectrum app on some TVs and whatever. I get Spectrum just for college football because it's got my SEC network. Like I said, Pac-12, ACC, all of it, Big Ten, all of it on their network, all the Fox channels. I get all these sports on Spectrum, so that's why I have it. But I was pissed. And I found myself going to a bar. And sitting in one of those booths, they have a TV at it.
Yeah. Oh, they have TVs at the booth?
Now? Yeah, we went to Johnny's down in Parkville. They have TVs in the booth.
I didn't know.
I said, that's cool. Can you change this one to the game? And they had the bar had the sound of the game on, which I like. But I hate doing that because I like to sit on the couch. I like my beers.
Be comfortable and not spending money.
I like my Oktoberfest. I don't like spending the money.
Yeah.
Bathroom is just right there. It's mine.
Exactly.
And I can have the 3 TVs set up or whatever, even though there's TVs everywhere in there. But the Spectrum thing was big, especially yanking college football fans around like that, doing the pregame. Then as soon as the kickoff, boom. I didn't hear anything about this supposed dispute going through. And what is it? DirecTV doesn't have Fox at this point.
Yeah, they haven't had them for I think there's been a little business.
So college
didn't
football
have
fans are missing out. And guess what? They kind of need it for the NFL coming up here, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I'm a YouTube TV subscriber. They had a dispute with ESPN. I want to say it was last year. Might have been 2 years ago. And ESPN was down for one Saturday, and then it was back that Sunday.
When you're talking about the second largest cable company in the United States, you're talking over 14 million customers in 41 states.
Yeah.
LA, New York, and Dallas. You're talking, let's get this thing solved or fixed, because if not, YouTube's numbers are going to be burning up.
And especially because they've got NFL Sunday Ticket.
I mean, I may have to sit here and make a move at some point and just add one. Because I do have the ESPN. I do stream that. I do stream Amazon for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I will be Peacock because they get the NFL Buffalo regular season game and a playoff game.
And the playoff game, too.
But I don't have Peacock yet. Do you?
I've got it.
Okay, so I will get that at some point. But the Spectrum is my big thing.
Yeah.
Because that way I can have the Spectrum app. But the good news is I like to be able to – I don't know how your YouTube is. It like – I use the Roku on some TVs, and you gotta like thumb.
I've got a Roku and I got a Fire TV,
but you can't go through. You can't type in the channel number.
I don't need a channel number,
but I do the subway. You can bounce back and forth to the game.
They have a. You can scroll down on the screen where you're watching the game. You can scroll down and go to different games.
But I like Spectrum for my football, and we'll see what happens. But I was genuinely pissed off.
Oh, I just as a
I still am,
as a YouTube TV subscriber. They just introduced during college basketball during the NCAA tournament. They introduced MultiView, which you can have four games on one screen.
About that.
It is. I had it this weekend. Plus, I had my laptop up. And I had five games on, and it was great.
But you start jacking with the NFL, and that's when it's going to get real.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I understand ABC is really like the first
Monday Night Football.
But keep in mind, a lot of ABC is blacked out in the country.
Yeah.
Because of the Disney dispute. The one in Kansas City is not.
No.
So I was able to watch. And then so I was able to watch. Again, I was able to watch a lot of games on CBS, ABC, and in Fox Sports this weekend, so ended up working out.
Well, if you're looking to switch, I would say YouTube TV is probably your spot, man.
Alabama, Texas.
They don't pay me to say that. But
Alabama, Texas.
I wish they did.
Alabama, Texas on that game is on. Will I be at a bar or not? That's going to be the question. It's going to. There's a bunch of games I want to watch.
Probably
it's ESPN, 6 o'clock ESPN.
Well, I guess you'll be at a bar if they don't fix it.
Yeah. Johnny's here to come.
With that, that is Jay Binkley. I'm Kristen Osero. Next week, we are going to be back. We are going to give you the rundown on week two, let you know how the local teams did and how the big games went down, that Alabama and Texas game, how those went down this past weekend. Plus, on top of that, any other news? Hopefully no other teams are going to realign and change conferences over the next week. And we're going to preview on week three of college football. So make sure you like and subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to us. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. Jay Binkley, Kristen Osero. This is Character Concerns from 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.